How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Why is he upon my father's chest? I see my father with Arrow's mother. Where is his brother? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They've chained me up to a camel's back. Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas, why are their bodies laying on these sands? Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? How do we bear to see him, Abbas, our fallen moon? Do they not know that is the neck that our prophet kissed? Heaven's final bliss, I see from above, so I yell, Baba.
Timeless truth. Inshallah, this year's program is being held by the Zainabiyya Center and Light of Guidance. To start off tonight's program, I would like to welcome our dear brother Ali Abbas. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Wa la taqulu liman yuqtalu fi sabilillah. بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you, Brother Ali, for that wonderful recitation. Please give a loud salawat on the soul and the well-being of all the mu'mineen and the shuhada. We would like to thank all the brothers and sisters and the community members who have sponsored the nightly programs. Alhamdulillah, with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your support, these programs will continue. And inshallah, we look forward to your support in the future nights. If you would like to sponsor a program, there is directions how to do that in the flyers at the end of the program. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We have been always taught every day is Ashura and every land is Karbala. So let us remember today, tomorrow, and every day we are on this earth that there was Yazid then, and there are many Yazids now. There was Hussein then, and there are many sons of Hussein now. There was Zainab then, and there are many daughters of Zainab now. So loud and clear to the Yazids of today, signed and screamed by the sons of Hussein and the daughters of Zainab, Hayhat minna dhilla. Hayhat minna dhilla. Hayhat minna dhilla. And now we have the honor and pleasure of welcoming our dear scholar, Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُ مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to day number 7 from our series. It's called Timeless Truth. What we're doing is we're studying the Qiyam of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, and we're looking at the surrounding events. What we're trying to do is by studying the good and the bad, what the Imam did, what his companions did, what the enemy did, what those who abandoned the enemy did, we're trying to find relevant lessons for the year 2020. And there are so many of them, so many important, timeless truths that were taught by Imam Hussein, which provide us with guidance now 1400 years later. So yesterday, we spent some time learning about the idea of finding peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. And what we learned was that what we've been blessed with, and that which has been taken away from us, or even if we've been denied it from the beginning, none of these things are signs that we are close to Allah or far from Him. Maybe we have something, a blessing. Maybe it's taken away from us. Maybe we do our responsibility and we end up in a worse place. Does that mean now God doesn't like me? Let's say I'm very successful, the opposite. Good wife, children, money, job, career. Does that mean God loves me? From an Islamic point of view, no. The ayat of the Quran are this, Surah 89 and verses number 15 to 17. God says this, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ This is for all of us. Human beings, when it comes to human beings, إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ When Allah tries him, ابْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ He honors this person. From a worldly point of view, things are going very well. Alhamdulillah, things are fine. وَنَعَمَهُ This person is enjoying the blessings of Allah. Believers, maybe even believers might be like this. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا God has honored me. Things are good. Alhamdulillah. God likes me. And then what happens if the opposite happens? وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا But what about those times when Allah tests this person? Again, the same word, ibtila. God tests this person. So now God makes their rizq straightened. Things were going well before. Now I'm struggling financially. Maybe I lost my job. Maybe I can't find employment in my past career. At this time, what do regular people say? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا God humiliated me. It means that no longer, I'm not friends with God anymore. I'm not important to God anymore. How does Allah respond to both of these situations? He says, كَلَّا Never. Sometimes you're blessed, that's a test. Sometimes you're struggling, that's a test. The main thing for us is our responsibility. As long as we're doing our responsibility, we're not worried about anything. These are important lessons, by the way. We have to apply these lessons, learn these lessons before the Imam returns. They're real life situations. We need to have these things down. What happens is sometimes something will happen which we dislike. I did the right thing. I tried. I made effort. I gave it my all. The opposite happens. God gives us the Islamic perspective, how we end up finding that inner peace. Allah has said in the Quran, Surah 4, verse number 19, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا Maybe you dislike something. You're thinking, this should not have happened. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا But Allah has put a lot of good in what you think is a setback. God's good. He works. He's on your side. I heard a story that's not true, inshallah. Well, definitely not true. They said once, these women, they died. They got in a car accident. They went to paradise. When they got to paradise, one of the malaika came, and he told the women, he said that, you're welcome to paradise, ahlan wa sahlan. He said, there's one rule in paradise. They said, what rule? He said, make sure you don't step on a duck. Then he opened the doors to paradise. They looked inside, and there's all these ducks running around. So the women tried to obey the rule. They were walking, trying to make sure they didn't step on a duck. And then one day, one of them stepped on a duck, and the angel reappeared. And he came with the ugliest man she had ever seen. So smelly, this man. And he said, this is your husband forever and ever. The other women looked in horror. He said, oh, my God. And now they were walking around in heaven, but they were really careful. Somehow, after about 2 weeks, another woman stepped on a duck. This time the angel came with an even uglier man, even more smelly than the first. And he came to the woman and he said, this is your husband forever and ever. Finally, the last woman was walking around paradise, but she was careful. She was making sure she didn't step on a duck if it killed her. Then suddenly the angel appeared. And he had with him the most handsome man she had ever seen, muscular, nice hair. She came forward, she said, this is your husband forever and ever. The woman turned to him. She said, Alhamdulillah, I don't know what I did to deserve you. The man said, I don't know either. I stepped on a duck. Sometimes what happens, we think something is in our against us. We do our job. God makes it work out. The believer, whether it's going good, we don't say that, if it's bad, if it's good, we don't say that now God has akramani, or if it's going bad, to say, no, God has humiliated me. I heard a story once, and this one is a true story. I heard it from Sayyidah Asad Ja'fari. It was nice. There's a verse that we have in the Quran in Surah Jumu'ah. Over there in the end of the surah, then God talks about, he says, Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. Allah is the best provider. Now what happened, the Sayyid was explaining, he said, it's easy to say this verse when things are going well. I just got promoted. I'm sitting on my yacht. Alhamdulillah, bought my dream home. It's easy to say, Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. What happens is it's a test when things aren't going well. I just lost my job. I'm struggling with the rent. I've maxed out my credit card. Can I still say, Wallahu khayru raziqi? That's the test. God is good. He knows what he's doing. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All of these lessons, brothers and sisters, by the way, are very important. We're going to go somewhere, inshallah, tonight. It's important for us to have learned these practical lessons from the Ahlul Bayt. So normally when you remember your leader, if you were to remember your leader, like Abu Abdullah, someone who you revere, and you hear a story about your leader being killed, his family being captured, paraded through the streets. Normally, for most people, that story would be demoralizing. Your team lost. Why is it that the story of Imam Hussein is the opposite? It gives you hope. From Imam Hussein, you learn, no matter how mighty the enemy, I'm not afraid of them. No matter what, how few the supporters of truth, we can still resist. What is it about the story of Imam Hussein that gives you hope? You hear this story and you're ready now. I want to talk about one of those lessons that inshallah we're going to get from Abu Abdullah. And hopefully we can use this in our practical lives, in those tests that Allah has before us, before we get to the return of the Imam. Today's lesson that we're going to try to learn from Abu Abdullah is a lesson of serenity, inner peace, itminan. I want to share a story from Abu Abdullah when we see the Imam's words. Remember, this is someone for whom death has been prophesied before the Qiyam of Abu Abdullah. From the time of Rasulullah, the wives of the Prophet, Salama, she knew, others knew, people knew before. So now what happens after the death of Yazid, the Imam is going to meet his death, and it's only going to be a few months. But talk about inner peace. Let's listen to this khutbah. So before the Imam sets out for Iraq, he's addressing the believers. He starts off in this way. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. Wa ma shaa Allah. Whatever Allah wills. وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is no strength or power except with Allah. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Then he starts off in this way. He says, death has been written for the children of Adam, like a necklace on the neck of a young girl. He says, how I long to meet my family in the next world, the way that Yaqub longed for Yusuf. He said, the place for my martyrdom has been chosen, and I will go to that place. He says, it's as if right now I can see the wolves tearing apart my body between Karbala and Nanawis. At this stage, look at inner peace. This is what the Imam says. He continues, Ravallah ridana ahl al-bayt. The pleasure of God is our pleasure, whatever God wills. He says, Nasbiru ala bala'ih. We're going to be patient with the tests that Allah places in our way. Wa yuwafina ujura sabirin. 100% God will give us the reward of the sabireen. So someone going to face imminent death, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen to Zainab, to your women, to your children. You know. And still, inner peace, relaxed, calm, composed. I mentioned when we look at the ashab of the Imam on the day of Ashura. And again, as I explained, we have no idea what it was like to be on the battlefield at that time. The difficulty even of the test of the Shias in Kufa who didn't come. God forbid that we be like them. If we looked at the characteristics and what was happening over there and the reasons you could come up with religious excuses why you don't support Aba Abdullah, Allah knows how many of us would have made it. Those companions in that kind of ghurba, the world against you, they were laughing and joking on the day of Ashura. How do you have that kind of peace? Composed, unworried, complete reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what we want to talk about. We want to see if we can find that. Because Allah has promised believers in the Qur'an that He will give us peace and tranquility. Allah says in the Qur'an, Surah 13, verse number 28, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, وَتَطْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, and whose hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Then God says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Know that it is only in the remembrance of Allah, in the dhikr of Allah, that the hearts find peace. We're supposed to be praying for this, by the way, in that beautiful hadith, that ziyarah that we have, ziyarah aminullah. One of our best ziyarah, ziyarah aminullah. Imam Sajjad teaches us how to talk to God. What should you and I ask for from Allah if Allah gives us the tawfiq of visiting Amir al-Mu'mineen? The Imam says, Allahumma, O Allah, faj'al nafsi, make my soul like this, mutma'innatan biqadarik, at peace with your decree, radiyatan biqadaik, pleased with whatever you bring my way. We're supposed to be praying for this. And a true believer is like this. The believer has a sense of peace and security, inner calm. It doesn't mean that the believer isn't tested. It doesn't mean that there aren't trials, that there aren't karbalas, that you're not resisting, that you don't face difficulties, that life isn't fair. Those happen. But the inner state of the believer is one of peace and tranquility. Inwardly, the believer is calm. The tests come, and sometimes the tests are extreme. What happens in these kind of tests is people end up panicking and they embarrass themselves in history. How embarrassing would it be to be on the wrong side of Karbala forever? That when people read the story of Imam Hussein, they say, we need that inner peace. So then when Allah brings the bala, and He brings bala, that you and I don't panic. We don't embarrass ourselves. They said once, it's not true, inshallah. This woman, these people were in the church. When they were in the church, there was a thunderbolt that happened. When the thunderbolt that happened, Shaitan appeared. And he was standing behind the podium, and the people were panicking and running here and there, and he was looking at them in glee. Except for one woman who was sitting in the front row, just as calm as could be. He said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "I know who you are." He said, "You're not afraid of me?" She said, "I'm not afraid of you." She said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, I've been married to your brother for 30 years. Not everybody's the same when faced with tests. There's some people who have inner peace, tranquility. Lessons that we can learn from Aba Abdullah. Our question is, how do we do this? Let's not make this just a theoretical discussion. How can we learn to have peace with God? Tranquility. It starts off, brothers and sisters, our first step, with thinking good of God. We serve a good God. God is on our side. Imam Khomeini says this. Always think, God is on my side. You have the creator of the universe, Allah, Rabbul Alameen, on your side. Imam Khomeini says, you always think this. Always tell yourself, I'm capable. Ayat of the Quran, by the way. La yukallif Allahu nafsan. Illa wasaha. You always tell yourself, you believe just like the Quran says, God's good. Imam Ridha tells us that we're supposed to think good of God. Once the leader was explaining to some senior ulama, he said that these principles that I want to share with you, he said, I want the whole ummah of Islam to know and memorize and embrace these principles. One of the principles that he taught was this. He says that when you go into a situation, you've done your responsibility. Expect a good outcome. Some people, they go into a situation, but instead of being like Imam Hussein and saying that I can still win even though there's 30,000, they shake, they're scared, they're nervous, they're worried. Another time you go in, it's going to be okay. God's good. He's not going to give me anything unless it's good for me. He said it makes a difference if you do it like that. If you think God's good, God's on your side, life is going to be very different for you. The results are different. Imam Ridha teaches us this. He says, أحسن الظن بالله. Think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ God says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ذَنِّ عَبْدِيَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بِي I deal with my servants based on how they expect from me. Those people who go in expecting victory, it's going to be okay. The Lord of the universe is on my existence. He brought worlds into existence by saying, Kun fayakun. God is on my side. Why would I be worried about others? The results are different if we believe in this. What we have to do is to learn to have Islamic self-confidence. When we say that God's good, we have to have Islamic self-confidence. What Sheikh Panahian was mentioning something about Islamic self-confidence, something that he got from Ayatollah Behjat. So Ayatollah Behjat was explaining a secret. How much do you and I have to trust God in order to take advantage and live the good life? How much do we have to trust God? Ayatollah Behjat said, he said, if you just trust God as much as a toddler trust their parents, all of your problems will be fixed. God fights your battles for you. All Allah wants to see is, are you doing your responsibility based on your knowledge, based on what you know? Are you practicing? Are you doing? As long as you do that, God's on your side. Once our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking to Abu Dharr, and he explained to Abu Dharr, he was like, there's one verse in Quran. If people would take that verse and act on that verse, it'll be enough. The verse is from Surah 65. It's some of Allah's promises in the Quran. He says this, Ya Abu Dharr, O Abu Dharr, لو أن الناس كلهم, if the people, all of them, أخذوا بهذه الآية, they would act on this ayah, لَكَفَتْهُمْ, it'd be enough for them. Then he started to explain the verse. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever does his or her responsibility, God, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make a way out for this person. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will provide rizq for you from where you don't expect. He'll give you inspiration. He'll show you things. Rizq. Provide from you from where you don't expect. God will surprise you. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. All God wants is that you trust in Him. If you trust in Him, God will be sufficient for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ. Once God sets out to do something, He always achieves His task. What happens is, God acts through other people. You and I might feel we're alone. Nobody's on our side. The numbers of mu'mineen are so few. The enemies are so huge. How can we resist? What about if God tells you, I control everyone, even your enemies? And I guarantee you, I'm not going to give you a test greater than you can take. If I give you a test, it's good for you. But I'm on your side, and I act through people. I heard a story once. Inshallah, it's not true. They said once there was this Christian lady. She lived next door to an atheist. So the atheist would see the Christian lady always praying, always believing in God, God's good. And he would just say to himself, why is she doing this, wasting her time, praying to God? Doesn't she know there's no God? And he would even mock her and tell her these things. Then one day he heard her praying and asking God for groceries, complaining to God about her situation and reassuring herself that God's good, He's going to take care of it. He said, now's my chance. What he did was he went to the store and he bought some groceries and he put it outside her door and then he knocked on the door and he hid in the bushes. So she came out, she opened the door, she saw the groceries, she starts thanking God, praising the Lord, and he jumps out of the bushes. When he jumps out of the bushes, he's like, you crazy old lady, God didn't buy those groceries, I did. And then the lady really started celebrating. She started praising the Lord. She was going down the streets, proclaiming the blessings of God. He ran after her, and when he caught up to her, he said, I just told you I bought the groceries. Why are you praising the Lord? She said, I knew God would take care of the groceries. I didn't know He'd make the devil pay for it. Allah works through other people. Even our enemies. Let's keep this in mind when we go through tragedies and we go through difficulties. Allah runs the show. This is our Karbala. This is our test. God wants to see what are we going to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs the show. He controls all the players. He's on your side. Step number two is to believe that God has the situation under control. So God's on my side. God controls the players. God has the situation under control. His promises are true. The hadith tells us this is the test of our iman. We have to learn these lessons before the imam returns. God says, this is now Amir al-Mu'mineen teaching us, he says, La yastuqu imanu abdin. The iman of a man or woman who's a believer is not true hatta yakuna bima fi yadillah awthaq minhu bima fi yadih. Until this person believes more in what is in God's hands than what's in his own hands. Once the leader, Imam Khamenei, Allah protect him, he went as a representative of Imam Khomeini to an area called Dehlaran. When he went to Dehlaran, then what happened was he was supposed to report from up close the situation on the battlefield, and the enemies found out. Their spies were there. The representative of the imam is there. They send information. We've got to capture the representative of the leader. Imam, at that time, we're going to capture. The person who's telling this story was the second in command of the Revolutionary Guard. At that time, he's in this area. He says, we're out there in our jeep, and then we see we've fallen into a trap. The enemy's there. They see us. And now they're moving from three directions to capture us. Tanks, armored vehicles, moving. He says, I'm there. The leader is there, sitting up in the front. Behind us, me as a second in command and the head of the Revolutionary Guard, we're in the jeep. He says, our driver started driving like a madman, trying to get us out of there. Driving like crazy. Ayatollah Khamenei tapped him on the shoulder. He said, slow down. The gun. He's driving. He said, the leader started talking to him like a father talks to a child. He said, slow down. It's going to be okay. I'm promising you, we're going to make it out of here. The man slowed down for him. He said, the guy who was telling the story, he said, to be honest with you, I was a little worried. I'm thinking, why doesn't he let him drive? Let us escape. He said, and then I looked at the leader. And he was sitting there so calm and dignified. Tanks, armored personnel vehicles. And he's just sitting there, calm. Mutma'innatan. He said, we ended up making it. We ended up escaping. Once we ended up escaping, got out of the area of danger, parked the jeep. The leader got out and he told the driver, he's like, do you smoke cigarettes? I was like, yes. He said, have a cigarette. Had a few puffs. He said, calm. He said, look, we believe if you're gonna go, you're gonna go. If Allah's written that you're gonna die, you're gonna die. You do your responsibility. If you do your responsibility, if God has not willed you will die, you're going to make it out. If he has willed you die, you'll die, but you'll die by flipping over your car. Mutma'innatan biqadarik. To have that inner peace. The third step, brothers and sisters, is to remember that God is watching. Allah's watching. Allah sees. My situation might seem unfair. It might seem the enemy are too many. It might seem bad things are happening to me. But God is watching and he loves me. Just knowing that God's watching, that this counts somewhere, that I'm moving to my destiny, this helps bring the person peace. I remind brothers and sisters of the day of Ashura, where Imam Hussein is over there. And from many points of view, the imam should be panicked. This isn't fair. I'm the grandson of the Prophet. I've done nothing. They invited me. Yazid is a fasiq. I didn't do anything wrong. But yet, when he raises his young son and he asks that at least the baby hasn't done anything wrong, give water to the baby, they decapitate the baby. When they did this, they said that the imam filled his hands with the hot, sticky blood of Ali Asghar. When his hands were full, he threw the blood up to heaven and he said, Hawwana alayya ma nazala bi annahu bi'inillah. This is easy for me to take because God's watching. Allah sees. Allah's fair. It's going to be okay. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a real life situation that I want to share with all of us so that we learn what our responsibility is and we make sure that we are on the right side of history. I watched today, and maybe some of you have watched as well, where one of my friends was pulled in and he was on a pretrial. They had a pretrial. So my friend's name is Sayyid Muzammil Zaidi. And they were having a pretrial to decide whether or not he should be given bail. Should he be let out as he tries to fight the charges? So I see the son of the Ahlul Bayt in his orange jumper, in his handcuffs, sitting in front of the judge. And this story is important for all of us because there's ramifications. What's the FBI trying to do? Important ramifications. What happens, brothers and sisters, is that you and I, alhamdulillah, when we look at the response of the believers to what happened to George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, then we saw that, alhamdulillah, the believers of Abu Abdullah weren't silent. They stood up for the truth. They expressed their views. They weren't afraid by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things that the FBI is trying to do is to put fear in the hearts of the believers. Rob. They want you and I to be scared to stand with the people of Yemen. We're watching a humanitarian disaster. 24 million people in danger. U.S.-led aggression. It's Israel. It's America. Saudi Arabia is fighting a proxy war on behalf of the Tawaghit. They want us to be able to watch a situation like that and say, there's nothing I can do. I have to stay safe. They're looking for something like this. When they take a case like this and they make it so high profile, I mean, you and I, we heard the charges that they were leveling at the Sayyid and at the other co-defendants. I mean, it's stuff literally out of a movie. These guys, they're working in, they were from El Mustafa University. That's where I went to school. There, they teach their revolutionary brand of Islam. It's funded by the government. They were carrying cash to overseas. Like, come on. You and I know the FBI isn't that incompetent. Are there credit card machines? Are there? Can you use your debit card in Iraq when you go overseas for ziyarah? There's things they're trying to get with this. Let's pay attention to the legislation. What they want to do is to make a rule where you and I can't pay khums here. Not even to be able, why do we have to fight this so robustly? They want to make, look what the precedent is. They want to make it illegal to collect khums to use here. Look at the affidavit, look at what they're saying. It's not about one marja either. When they talked about Ayatollah al-Uzma Sistani, because they also mention his name, Iranian scholar in Iraq. They're looking for everybody. If they can get away with this, if we don't push back, the way that it works here in this country, you back up even an inch, they take a mile. They don't want to see us speak out for justice. They want us to see what happened to that African-American man, the one who got shot 7 times in his back in front of 3 children. And we just say, don't talk. Take down your pictures. Don't have a picture of the leader. Don't let them catch you. That's what they're looking for. Rob. Otherwise, you know how it works. There's a saying in Farsi, they say that you tell the person that they're gonna die in order to make them accept at least that they've got a fever. They come up with these ridiculous, you are doing this, you are doing that, right? And you're like so terrified, 50 years in jail, blah, blah, blah. And then at least you accept the small charges. What we're expecting is a robust defense. A robust defense. And that the mu'mineen aren't scared. Muharrab. If Allah has brought this test right now, sometimes you dislike something, وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. There's a lot of khair. For Muzammil, for Sayyid Asim, for the mu'mineen. The only thing is, where are you going to be when Allah tests you? Which side of history are you going to be on? Are you going to be one of those people who run away? I don't want to touch this man with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to talk to his family. I don't want nothing to. Alhamdulillah, the community in Houston, they've done a good job. Alhamdulillah. We expect that the believers are strong, going to see the family, visit them. It's going to be okay. Brother comes out from bail. Alhamdulillah. When I was younger, I went to see my city cousins. So I'm a country mouse, but I go to see my city cousins. And I was surprised to see people, even when they would talk about the concept of jail, they used to say, I'm going to go to jail and put my weight on. Instead of them being intimidated, we'll see what happens. Allah won't let anything happen except what's good for the brothers. Imam Sadiq taught us that. Allah never does anything for the believer. Illa ma huwa khayrun lah. God controls the judge. God controls the defense attorney. God controls the FBI agent. We're doing our responsibility. It's a game, brothers and sisters. But don't get scared. Don't be on the wrong side of history. This is the time of victories, intisarat. We're winning. We're going closer. Learn the lessons. Practice the lessons. Don't be on the wrong side of history. Imam Khamenei was explaining a painful memory. He had been let out of prison for the fourth time. Prison so many times. Let out of prison for the fourth time. When he got let out of prison for the fourth time, that evening, just got out of prison, Savak, you're out of prison. He said, I went to the shrine of Imam Ridha. Must go. Of course, you go. He makes ziyarah. He said, it was at night. I go over, and I'm going to make ziyarah. Of course, any of us. First thing you do, go to the Imam. May Allah give us the tawfiq of making ziyarah of Imam Ridha. As he goes to the shrine, he sees two old friends, tulab, Hausa students, people he knew and had known for years. He says, I see my friends. He said, those months of being in prison, in my own mind, I'm thinking I'm going to talk to my friends. I'll tell them about the difficulty. I'll find some sense of relief. It'll be okay. Talk to them. You get energized. He says, I started to walk faster, seeing my friends. He says, one of them, I was very close to him. We looked like what people used to say were brothers. That close. He says that I started walking towards my friends. I'm walking fast, seeing finally out of prison. He said, I noticed my friends, one turned to the other and they said something. And they turned their faces from me. They didn't even want to see me. I was about to say salams. They turned their faces and started walking the other direction. He said the prison stung, being in there. That stung. But what stung more was the abandonment by the believers. It used to hurt, he says, when we would have scholars who wouldn't take a side, wouldn't stand for the truth. That hurt. to be expecting at least emotional support. At least you can make dua. Tell me it's going to be okay. That hurt, he said. Later, when the revolution started to become more victorious, we're getting closer to the anniversary of the revolution, at that stage, one of them changed. He came on the right side. He was calling people to Imam Khomeini. And he came back to Ayatollah Khamenei. After the victory of the revolution, no, Imam Khamenei, now he's an important person. He came back to him. He needed a favor. Needed some help. Even though he had been so hurt by this man, Imam Khamenei helped him more than the man expected. More than the man expected. God's already written it. You and I, we just want to make sure we're on the right side of history. As long as we're doing that, it's going to be okay. Inshallah, brothers and sisters, we're going to go briefly to Karbala. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala arwah allati halat bifinaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين لا يوم كيومك يا أبا عبد الله. Brothers and sisters, as I was preparing for the majlis today, I listened to the masaib of a senior alim, Sheikh Ansariyan. He shared some facts about the masaib that normally aren't shared. I hope to Allah the masaib of Qasim aren't as he said. He said there came a time when Qasim came to Aba Abdullah and asked for permission to fight. Imam Hussein refused to allow him to fight. Qasim was so disappointed, he walked away from his imam, and then he remembered his father had given him a letter to read if he ever got in a very bad situation. His father said, "Act on my instructions, my son." Qasim opened this letter. The letter said, "My son, when you see your uncle in Karbala surrounded by enemies, make sure you fight and you stay on his side." Qasim has energy now. He goes back to his uncle. He shows him the letter. When Aba Abdullah read the letter, he started to cry in a loud voice. He gave him permission, but he hugged Qasim so tight. They had already had those conversations about martyrdom. It said they both fainted out of grief. Qasim headed out to face the enemy. The enemy was shooting arrows at Qasim. They were throwing rocks at Qasim. Finally, Qasim fell down to the ground. One of the enemy came and he rammed his spear into Qasim's body. The spear came out the other side of Qasim's body. He pulled the spear back out. He still needed to hit other places. One of the enemy hit Qasim in the head. As this time, Qasim finally called out for help. Ya Amma! The Imam was standing there watching his nephew Qasim. No sooner did Qasim cry out than the Imam descended on him like an eagle goes on his prey.
Qasim. He came to Qasim and he sees a heavy man sitting on this 13-year-old. A man about to cut off the head of Qasim. He already has his knife out. The Imam attacked him with his sword. The man raised his hand to block the sword. His hand got cut off by the sword of the Imam and he called for help. The enemy came charging to get him, to save him, and they started battling with Imam Hussein right there with the bodies. The man was trampled. What the Sheikh said is that Qasim also got trampled. Abu Abdullah, after he finished off the enemy, heard a voice weakly saying, "Uncle, my bones have been crushed by the horses." Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibu.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله Peace and blessings be upon you, Prophet of Allah. Peace and blessings be upon you, Ya Aba Abdullah, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein, Nur Aini, Ya Hussein, Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. يا رحمة الله الواسعة يا أبا عبد الله Oh my beloved يا حسين The light of our eyes يا حسين Oh the vast mercy of Allah Ya Aba Abdullah Brothers and sisters, take your hearts out to the land of Karbala After the companions had insisted on defending the family of Aba Abdullah, and they were martyred in the battle. Now the family is left with no helpers. They have to defend themselves with the tribe of Banu Hashim. They have to defend the religion of Rasulullah. But before we go there, let us remember an imam that is usually forgotten. Let us remember Imam al-Mujtaba, the first candle that lit the house of revelation. Tonight we remember Imam al-Hasan and the children of al-Hasan that gave their lives towards the religion. When Imam al-Hasan was poisoned by his cursed wife Ju'ada, when she got orders from the evil Caliphate Muawiyah, Imam al-Hussein was sitting beside him.
and the Imam began to cry. Imam al-Hasan asked him, Ya Aba Abdullah, why do you cry? Ya Aba Abdullah, your tears are heavy on the heart of your brother. They are heavy on the heart of your mother and your father as well as Rasulullah. Imam al-Hussein was crying for the situation that Imam al-Hassan was in. Imam al-Hassan told him, Ya Aba Abdullah, I will die from the poison tonight, but there is no day like your day, Ya Hussein. La yawmaka yawmika, Ya Aba Abdullah. Brothers and sisters on the plains of Karbala, Imam al-Hassan's oldest son, the narration states his name was Abdullah al-Akbar, had already passed away. Then we will go on and mention his other son, Imam al-Qasim ibn al-Hassan. It is narrated that the night before Ashura, Al-Qasim was with his uncle. When his uncle asked him, Ya Qasim, he was only at the age of adolescence. He told him, Ya Qasim, Kayfa tajida ta'am al-maut. He told him, Ya Am, oh my uncle, ahla min al-asal. My son Qasim, how do you view death? He replied to him and he said, to him, O uncle, I swear it is sweeter than honey to me if it is in your way, Ya Aba Abdullah. On the day of the battle in Karbala, after the companions were slain and after some of the family members had been killed, Imam al-Hussein came out on the battlefield crying out, Al-Min Nasirin Yunsuruna, Al-Min Mughithin Yughithuna, هل من ذاب يذب عن حرم رسول الله؟ هل من موحد يخاف الله فينا؟ هل من معين يرجو ما عند الله في إعانتنا؟ القاسم heard his uncle saying, Is there a supporter to support us? Is there a helper who can help us? Is there one who can aid us? القاسم came out saying, لبيك يا عمي يا أبا عبد الله لبيك. I am at your service, O Hussein. I am at your service, O my dear uncle. He couldn't handle it anymore, seeing his uncle in the position he was in. Imam al-Hussein hugged his nephew, and they both began to weep and began to cry. Al-Qasim wasn't dressed for war like the rest of the man because of his young age. He would say, Uncle, I don't have the energy to stay here while I see my family members dismembered in front of me. And I see you all alone, Ya Hussein. And I see that there is no one to support you, and that there is no one to aid you. Let me be the one who comes to your aid. Let me brighten my face in front of my father. Let me brighten my face with my grandmother, Fatima al-Zahra. When al-Qasim was only young, his father passed away, and Imam al-Hussein looked after him. So you can imagine he was like a father to him. Aba Abdullah would say to him, Ya Qasim, your father has entrusted you with me. But Qasim kept on insisting, and he would kiss the Imam's hands and feet, pleading him to fight. right. Imam al-Hussein would say to him, Ya waladi, atamshi birajlika ila al-maut. My son, are you going to walk to your own death? Al-Qasim would say to him, How can I not do so, my uncle, when you are by yourself with no supporter to support you? May my soul be sacrificed for you, and may I protect you. May we all be sacrificed for you, Ya Hussein. From now until the day of judgment, we say, Labbaik, Hussein. Imam al Hussein would say to Al-Qasim, You are Al-Wadi'a, you were the trust, and I don't want to give you towards the swords, for they were hurt, for they will hurt you, my dear Qasim. According to a narration, Qasim replied to his uncle by giving him a will from his father. The Imam would take it, and he would open it, and it was in the handwriting of his brother Imam al-Hassan. اقرد أخي يا أبا عبد الله Oh my brother Ya Hussein Give permission to my son So that he can fight with you And so that he can represent me on that day Imam al-Hussein was moved by the will of his brother And they dressed al-Qasim with the turban of his father And the clothes that resembled the shroud. Then he told him, Ya Qasim, go bid farewell towards the women. Go bid farewell to your mother Amla. Bid farewell to your auntie Zainab. For this is the last time you guys will meet. He was given permission, so he went to his mother and he told her that Aba Abdullah has given him permission to fight. She bid him farewell. Imagine bidding farewell to your teenage son. She told him to send her salams to his father, Imam al-Hassan. He bid her goodbye. He bid his auntie Zainab. As she would say to him, Have mercy. On our strangeness in this land. Irham ghurbatana ya Qasim. We are strangers and we can't afford to lose other members. After that, Al-Qasim, he began to go towards the battlefield. He would say, إن تنكروني فأنا نجل الحسن صبط النبي المصطفى والمؤتمن هذا حسين كالأسير المرتهن بين أناس لا سقوا صوب المزون If you do not know me, I am the son of Hassan, the grandson of the chosen and trusted prophet. And this is Hussein, like a ransomed captive amongst cursed people. May the sky never rain its mercy upon them. Al-Qasim fought valiantly, brothers and sisters, until he killed a good number of them. Hamid ibn Muslim narrates, I was in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd al-Mal'un when a young man came forward whose face was shining like the moon. He carried a sword and the strap of his shoe was torn. I will never forget that it was the left one. He stopped in the middle of the battlefield as he was fighting the evildoers to fix his shoe as it was a disgrace to walk barefoot. Seeing him in this position, one of the enemies came. The narrations state his name was Amr ibn Sa'd bin Nufail. One of the enemies of Allah came and he struck Qasim on his head. He immediately called, Ya Amma. Ya Aba Abdullah, when Al-Abbas fell, he called upon you. When Qasim fell, he called upon you. When Ali and Al-Akbar fell, he called upon you. When the companions fell, they all called upon you, Ya Hussein. But when Shimr sat on your chest, who did you call, Ya Aba Abdullah? Imam al-Hussein at that moment rushed towards his nephew, tearing through the enemy like an angered lion until he reached his Qasim. When the dust settled, the Imam was standing over Qasim's head. He began to say, Ya Izzu Wallahi ala ammika an tad'uahu fala yujibu أو يجيبك فلا يعينك أو يعينك فلا يغني عنك بعدا لقوم قتلوك ومن خصمهم يوم القيامة جدك وأبوك. هذا يوم والله كثر واتره وقل ناصره. By God, it saddens your uncle, O Qasim, that you call him while he cannot answer you, or that he answers you but cannot help you, or he helps you but that his help doesn't suffice you. Away with the people who have killed you. Who is their adversary on the day of judgment other than your grandfather and your father? By God, this day our voice is opposed by many and supported by a few. After that, the Imam carried the body of Al-Qasim back towards the camps, and he placed him beside his beloved son Ali and Al-Akbar. He raised his eyes to the heavens and he recited a prayer against the enemies for all that they've committed. That was not all for the children of Al-Hasan. There was another son of Imam Al-Hasan that also attained martyrdom with the rest of Banu Hashim. His name was Abdullah Al-Asghar. As Imam Al-Hussein was laying on the ground when he was stranded and alone, as the enemies attacked him and outnumbered him, Aba Abdullah laying on the ground and enduring all the wounds that he had suffered from the enemies. In one narration, Imam al-Sadiq stated, the wounds of Aba Abdullah were wounds upon wounds. As Aba Abdullah laid on the ground, a young boy about the age of 11 ran out and he saw his uncle surrounded by the soldiers. He ran from amongst the women rushing towards his uncle. Uncle Hussein, Sayyida Zainab ran after him. Imam al-Hussein told her, O Zainab, hold him back, sister. Keep him in the tents. But the young boy managed to escape and he went and made his way towards his uncle, Aba Abdullah. He saw one of the enemies as he came close with his sword. He called out. He said to him, Waylaka yabna al-Khabitha, ataqtulu ammi, woe to you, O son of the vile women. Would you kill my uncle, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein? The man came towards the young boy and struck him on his arm, severing his arm. The boy cried out, Ya Amma, Ya Aba Abdullah. The Imam, who was laying on the ground, embraced him and he said to him, Ya ابن أخي أصبر على ما نزل بك واحتسب في ذلك الخير. Oh my nephew, be patient with what has befallen you and await the best of rewards, for surely Allah will allow you to join your righteous forefathers. Then the Imam made a prayer against the people, for claiming to support him but turning back on him as the boy was in the arms of his uncle. Harmala bin Kahil launched an arrow at the boy, killing him in the hands of his uncle.
ألا لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Inshallah, the Latumiyah that I'll recite today was written by the poet Nuri Sardar. It's called Where Are Your Hands in honor of Abul Fadl. The chorus says, Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying? Upon these sands from thirst these girls are dying. Your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling, where are your hands?
Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying upon these sands? From thirst these girls are dying, your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling, where are your hands? Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying upon these sands? From thirst these girls are dying, your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling, where are your hands? Is it the day of judgment? Fires are burning your tent. They cry, holding my garment, Abbas, Abbas. They saw your flag had fallen, confused, they're only children. One name by the misspoken, Abbas, Abbas. Their skin covered no longer white in ashes, their eyes watch your tent set alight in pieces, running from your tent in their fright. It crashes, it cannot be that the tent of Abbas falls. It cannot be these queens unguarded by walls. It cannot be no Abbas answers their calls. Where are your hands? Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying upon these sands? From thirst these girls are dying, your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling, where are your hands? The last thing they remember, on his horse their flag bearer, leaving to bring them water, Abbas, Abbas. Auntie, has he not come back? Our tongues from thirst have turned black. They faint, resting on my back, Abbas, Abbas. How many hands tug on my dress? Oh brother, I raise my hands, may Allah bless them water in the form of our courageous flag bearer. Where are your eyes to gaze upon our anguish? Where are your eyes to watch the fire flourish? Where are your eyes who sight makes despair vanish. Where are your hands? Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying upon these sands? From thirst these girls are dying. Your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling. Where are your hands? Could it be that your two palms that rip apart all our harms are not attached to your arms? Abbas, Abbas, could it be that an arrow has broken your sister's bow and blood from your eye would flow? Abbas, Abbas, did your body fall to the ground? It's shaking, I hear from Hussein's back a sound. It's breaking, has our uncle Abbas been found? They're asking, Lord, give him wings to fly towards these children. Lord, give him wings, carrying water within. Lord, give him wings, from his wings their thirst broken. Where are your hands? Where are your hands to wipe the tears they're crying upon these sands? From thirst these girls are dying. Your banner stands for Abbas, it is calling. Where are your hands? Where are your hands?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
دعاء الفرج إن شاء الله.
اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us for another one of our programs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, give you good health. For the oppressed and all of those unjustly imprisoned around the world, if we could please recite Surah Al-Fatiha ba'da salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We hope to see you tomorrow night.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna إليه راجعون. How do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, how do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, how do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, Zainab has fallen, Hussein's back broken. Oh dear uncle, you are our chosen. Has the flag fallen? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, no need for water, I want my uncle. You left with two arms, returned with no arms, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. You left with my wish to bring us water, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. But now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya Abbas. But now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Abbas, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, how do we bear to see him? Abbas, our fallen moon, why is he upon my father's chest? I see my father with Arrow's mother. Where is his brother? And I yell, Baba, Abbas and Hussein, where have they gone? Oh, I want my uncle. They've chained me up to a camel's back, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas. Why are their bodies laying on these sands, Ya Abbas, Ya Abbas? Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas, Ya Abbas. Oh, now you've left my heart broken, for you're gone, Abbas. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How do we bear to see?